In today's scripture, Abram is in fact Abraham, who God made the father of many nations, a prominent figure mentioned throughout the Bible. God changes Abram's name in Genesis chapter 17 to Abraham. Lord, open your word to us by the Holy Spirit so that we, like Abraham, may believe your promises to us. Our reading today is from the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 15, verses 1 through 15, pages 20 and 21 in your red Bibles in the pews. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took them outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He also said to him, I am the Lord, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to take possession of it. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, how can I know that I will gain possession of it? So the Lord said to him, Bring me a heifer, a goat, and a ram, each 3 days old, along with a dove and a young pigeon. Abram brought all these to him, cut them in two, and arranged the halves opposite each other. The birds, however, he did not cut in half. Then birds of prey came down on the carcasses, but Abram drove them away. As the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said, Know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated for 400 years. But I will punish the nation that they serve as slaves, and afterwards they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. God is still and always speaking. Let us listen. Covenant. The word testament also means covenant. Adam and Eve, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, those are the big five covenants usually just mentioned when discussing the Old Testament. In the reading we just heard, that was part of a covenantal process during that time, showing commitment on both sides by the offering or the presenting of the sacrificed animals. The New Testament is all about the new covenant, the covenant our Savior Jesus Christ made with us, for us. In the ancient Near East, the time period and location of the Bible's actions, covenants are the equivalent to what contracts are in our time. Though God's covenants have a different twist. Think of the buyer's, seller's contracts you sign when a house is bought or when you're signing a lease for an apartment. The principle is for you to do this, for example, pay a certain amount of money, then you will receive this. a place to live. With God's covenants, contracts, God doesn't just offer, but gives what benefits us first, loves us, cares for us up front, and then teaches us and guides us how to live, how to journey this earthly realm as we enter into the contract and become part of the covenant. We don't have to pay anything to receive the benefits. We don't have to trade anything or, you know, barter anything. Again, God showers us with gifts and then teaches us to seal the deal. We learn, grow, transform. It's really a one-sided win-win situation for us. Not only are we having unconditional love showered upon us, but then we're also taught, we're being guided. And as we grow, as we transform, we keep on winning. The way God's covenants are set up is what promotes forgiveness, worthiness, and belovedness. Think about it. God bestows us with gifts even though we aren't necessarily following their ways, their commandments. But as long as we ask for forgiveness in our sincere, in our intent and actions, our minds, hearts, and bodies, to keep pursuing the path of God, God continues to gift us, guide us, for God is love. I am not worthy. I don't deserve it. I am a bad person. I disappoint everyone. If we realize, if we accept that God's covenants, including the new covenant with Jesus, gives love, acceptance, all that we could possibly ask for, without asking for payment, without having to prove ourselves worthy, without owing anything. Those statements I just quoted and have felt myself in the past would never enter our minds. They would have no place in our hearts. Being free of the change those statements create might make us more open to God's guidance. Lifting the burden of those type of statements might make it easier to reflect, change, grow, and transform. We are loved. We are worthy because God has made us this way. No strings attached. We are children of God. We are deserving from the moment we are born. In a moment, we will welcome two new members to our congregation, to the United Church of Christ. The fact that the United Church of Christ is not only structurally covenantal, but also inter and intra-relationship covenantal, is truly amazing to me. Covenant, what the Bible is all about. As members of the United Church of Christ, we continue our relationship of covenant with God while we invite all to share that relationship with God. For we are all God's beloved.